Welcome to the Gymea Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you're listening to the pod and trust that this message encourages your heart and faith today. At GBC, we're all about partnering with God in the renewal and restoration of all things. And it's our hope that through these sermons, you'll discover the life-changing power of Jesus. If you'd like to join us in person or online or find out more, check out our website at gymeabaptist.org.au.
And it's time now to turn to our reading. From time to time, we have some quite long readings. I'm here to strike a balance. We have a reading of one verse. And it's Matthew chapter 9 and verse 17. And it simply says this: "Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved."
Thank you, Derek, for that rather short Bible reading this morning. Morning, everyone. Great to see you all here this morning. I am excited to be kicking us off for our On This Rock series. I think it's going to be a great opportunity to hear from a bunch of different people about their foundational passage. And yes, mine is Matthew 9:17, as Derek just read for us this morning. So as we begin, I just want to acknowledge that there are really two different types of reading and interpreting a passage. And the first of which is a literal reading of a text. And a literal reading, literary reading of a text is that you look at a passage and you read it to gain the intended meaning within the intended context for the original audience. So in the wider passage of Matthew 9, this particular verse in 9:17 is a response or part of a response from Jesus when the Pharisees question him about his disciples not adhering to the laws of the Old Testament, specifically to do with the Sabbath and around fasting. And Jesus here is teaching the Pharisees that he is leading his disciples to having a faith in him as the Christ, and also leading them towards the kingdom of God, which, though it looks similar, is also different from the faith that the Pharisees have in the laws of the Torah. So that's the first type of reading. The second type of reading is a devotional reading of Scripture. And this type of reading is the focus of this passage this morning, of my sermon this morning. And within this type of reading of Scripture, we read Scripture with the lens of our own circumstances, situation, and lives. We read Scripture so it can give us meaning and God can speak to us into our lives and our situations. And this is the type of reading that I had when I was first presented with this passage. Back when I was 18, 19 years old, I was only been a Christian for about a year or two, and I was still pretty fresh to being a Christian. I was still growing in my relationship with God. I was still developing in my knowledge of him and my knowledge of the Bible. And I knew that that was normal and that was okay. But there was kind of a problem that was centered around that. And the problem was that I was being called to ministry. Now, that within itself is not a problem. That is a privilege to be able to be called to ministry, to be able to be called to share the gospel with others, to bring people to Jesus and to demonstrate Jesus' love to others. That is not a problem. The problem for me was that at this time, I didn't feel as though I had the knowledge, the wisdom, or the experience to be able to fulfill this call. I didn't think that I had what it takes. It was confronting to think that I would have to go and share the gospel when I didn't actually know what I was talking about for some of it. So, presented with this problem, I went to my youth pastor at the time, the church I was at, and he presented me with this verse in Matthew 9:17 that talks about new wine into new wineskins. And as I looked over this passage, as I studied it, as I contemplated it, I got this really great picture of what Christian life is like. And I wanted to share that with you this morning. So, this passage talks about wineskins. And I don't know about you, but wineskins are a bit unfamiliar to me because we don't use them anymore. But what we do use instead is a plastic water bottle. All right? And a plastic water bottle, this plastic water bottle, it represents us. And the way that it represents us is that in the beginning, we were created to have a relationship with Christ, to be able to have a relationship with God. And part of that relationship that we have with God is that we were designed to hold the Holy Spirit. So just like this water bottle that is designed to hold water, we were designed to hold the Holy Spirit. The problem that we face, though, is that sin actually affects our ability to hold the Holy Spirit. And sin actually damages our bottle so that we can no longer hold the Holy Spirit. Right? And again, that's a problem. God does not wish to leave us with our giant gaping hole in us that is caused by sin. So he takes out his tools and he starts cutting around the area to remove all the broken bits, all the things that are affected by our sin, so that we are left with a slightly bigger hole. And then he takes the new piece and he restores us back to factory settings. The problem with my demonstration that I have presented many times, which is why I know how to do that, is that my water bottle is no longer going to hold water from a bit of sticky tape and a new piece. All right, but for us, we are restored in Christ back to the way we were designed. We are restored so that we can once again hold the Holy Spirit. And I want to take a moment to focus on that restoration because I think it is important for us to recognize how God restores us. And there are three areas. The first area is that God restores our mind, right? When we think of our mind is in charge of our thoughts. And it's our thoughts that dictate our words and our actions. So sin, what sin does within our minds is sin gives us our negative thoughts that we have. Whether that is negative thoughts about a situation, about a particular topic, about God, about another person, or even ourselves, those negative thoughts that we have come from our sin. And of course, those negative actions or those negative thoughts are shown in negative actions, negative words that we say to others. And again, that is a problem that prevents us from holding the Holy Spirit like we should have been. So God wants to restore us, all right? And he does that by helping us to remove those negative thoughts and he replaces them with our positive thoughts so that we can think positively about our situations, other people, problems. God helps us to think positively. So God restores our mind. The second area that God restores is God restores our heart. And yes, we all know that our heart is not in charge of our emotions. Okay? But when we think about our emotions, we tend to separate our emotions and our thoughts from one another. They are connected, but they are two separate entities. And we explain that by saying that our heart controls our emotions and not our mind. Right? And that's where we get the expression, we wear our heart on our sleeve. All right? Because it's our heart that controls our emotions, and then that is we display that out to others. So we know that, okay? So when I say God restores our heart, I really mean God restores our emotions. right? Because sin has the ability to affect our emotions negatively as well, right? When we think of emotions such as anger, frustration, sadness, anxiety, all those negative emotions are received from sin and are then, of course, portrayed through our actions as well. Think about when you act out of frustration because someone's annoyed you, when you're angry at them and you might lash out at them, tell them off. Think about all the times that you are sad and we express that in a negative way, all right? We have been given negative emotions with our sin. And that's a problem for God, and it's a problem for us because we can't hold all the Holy Spirit if our hearts are not clean. So God, again, helps us to have our hearts and our emotions cleansed so that we are to have positive emotions. Such emotions like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit. All emotions that we perceive as being positive emotions. And when we have these positive emotions bestowed on us, we are then able to display those out to others. We are able to share the fruits of the Holy Spirit, to share its heart, its emotions. The third and final area that God restores us is in our spirit or our soul. And our spirit or soul can be defined as all the non-physical aspects of our being. And that includes both our minds and our heart, but it really also includes our character as well. And our character is really an expression of our minds and our heart. It's an expression of our words and our actions. So when we have these negative thoughts and these negative emotions, we portray them out to others, and then others perceive us in that negative light. We have been perceived in a negative character. But when we have our minds and our hearts restored, when we display the characteristics of the Holy Spirit of love, of joy, we are then restored in our character as well. We are restored so that we can outpour that Holy Spirit onto others. We are seen as people of good character, of holy, righteous people through the Holy Spirit. So knowing these things was very comforting to me back when I was 18, 19 years old and being called to ministry. Again, it was so confronting to think that I would have to go through and lead people and teach them and bring them to Jesus without actually knowing what was going on. But knowing this now and being shared that back then, that was really comforting. Knowing that I might not have the skills or the character or the mind or the heart now, but I will eventually. As I go through the process of restoration, I will be restored back to the way I was intended so that I could once again hold the Holy Spirit. And that should be the aim for us. We should be seeking to hold as much of the Holy Spirit as possible, because as we go through this process of restoration to be restored in Christ and have our bottle refilled, it is not a one-time thing. It doesn't just happen when you first become a Christian. It doesn't just happen automatically when you become a Christian and then boom, done, fixed. All right? It's a continual process. And I can say that from experience because I'm still falling short. I still sin. But yet every day we should be trying, we should be striving to have our bottle full more and more and more of the Holy Spirit so that we can pour that out to others. God calls us to be the light of the world. And to do that, we must be outpouring the Holy Spirit to others. We must be showing good thoughts. We must be showing good emotions. We must be showing good character to others to be the light of the world. But the benefit that we have is that we don't have to do this alone. We do have God on our side, working within us continually, but we also have one another. We have one another so that we might be able to strengthen one another when we go through this process. Because sometimes this process can be a bit tricky. Sometimes this process can actually be a bit difficult. When you're in the middle of a season where you feel like you've been having something, your sin cut out from you, and you're feeling rather empty, that can be a bit tricky. You're going to get to the process where God restores you, but that is difficult. But the beauty of church is that we are a community of people that can help and support one another through every situation, just like God does in our lives all the time. So, my encouragement from this passage is that let's strive to be made into new wineskins every day. Every day we go through this process to be made into new wineskins so that we can hold the new wine of the Holy Spirit. But let's not do it alone. Let's do it together. Let's do it as a community of faith who strives to pour out the Holy Spirit to our community. I'm going to invite the band back up onto the stage. If you need help in this process of restoration that we go through, there are people in this church that would like to help you. And if you need prayer for anything, I would like to invite you to come up to the front. We're going to have some people up the front. Myself, I will be up there. Come, let us pray for you. Let us help you. Let us support you in this situation. And just know that this prayer, this support, is readily available at all times and not just on a Sunday morning. Please feel free to contact us at any point. But let me just pray to close out this morning. Father God, we just thank you so much for the fact that you work within us to restore us each and every day. Lord, I just pray that if anyone feels as though they are in the midst of a hole being formed within them to cut them free of their sin, Father, I just pray that you would help them, guide them, and support them in this time. Father, we can't do this Christian life without you. And Lord, we thank you that you are always there, that you are always present in our lives to help restore us back to how we were intended. Father, I pray that as we go through this process, that you will make yourself known to us. That, Father, we would become closer to you, because we are anointed with the Holy Spirit so that we can outpour that to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this sermon podcast. We hope you found inspiration and encouragement, and God used this message to speak to you. If you want to connect more with GBC, you can follow us on social media or contact us via our website. You can also get to know some of the people from our church community through the We Are The Church podcast. Real stories of real people sharing how Jesus has shaped and transformed their life. We pray you experience the transforming power of Jesus in your life and pray that God blesses you today.